for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday evening, May the 24th, 2003. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas is the speaker.
Anyway, tonight we're going to be sharing about a principality called the Midianite Spirit. I believe it is one of the strong men's of poverty. Most of us have been in contact with someone or even in our own lives have had a situations where we have accumulated a lot, and for some reason it seems like we had pockets with holes in them. Many in the church are currently under attack by the spirits of poverty. And I believe this is one of the evil principalities that Satan uses to bring destruction against the resources of ministry and individuals in ministry. This principality works primarily, his focus is at the individual level, although he will attack churches as a whole, but he's after the individual believer to destroy your personal finances. It should be understood that Satan and this principality can destroy your finances indirectly through several sources, such as sicknesses, medical and hospital expenses, then there's a loss of work, and accidents, block job training, advancements, and lawsuits. I have two or three of those, and I don't know why. The judges threw them all out. I can't remember what they were because I forgave them. It's been so long ago. It's just all silly stuff the first couple of years of ministry. Satan will try everything he can to destroy you and destroy your reputation. So I tell people when they first come to us that is there anything that's in hidden, let me know about it because I need to help you through this. And I tell him, and I've already had two of them. I had to get out of jail because of traffic violation. I tell him, he said, well, Brother Landry, you told me. Okay, because whatever it is, it's going to come up because this ain't nowhere to play when you're dealing with God and he wants to set his people free. Huh. Well, the information I'm going to share with you tonight is not going to be totally conclusive, but it should give you a little bit more in-depth understanding on this principality and its divisive ways. In the book of Proverbs, and I'm going to probably step it up a little bit for the sake of time. I don't want to put anybody to sleep, but I think everybody would like to have more resources to advance the kingdom. So you're probably really attentive right now, like, you know, after all the anointing is just done. In Proverbs 11, chapter verse 24, the scripture says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. God desires that we disperse abroad what he's given us. He desires that we help the poor. And he says that it is for the generous heart shall be made rich. Well, how are we going to be able to do that if everything we get is eaten up? In Proverbs, the 19th chapter, we should be familiar with this. Verse 17, he that had pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he had given will be, he paid him again. So I think that's a pretty good investment. Lending into the Lord, and the Lord has given a promise that I will repay. Mm-hmm. Well, we can see this Midianite spirit in operation in several areas in the scriptures. And I'm going to give you some chapters and verses for the sake of maybe save us about 40 minutes of time. I won't do a lot of reading. Hopefully the Spirit will give me exhortation in these areas. But in Genesis 37, we find where Jacob sends Joseph to meet with his brothers. And they desire to kill him. And that's 37. But fortunately, his brother, what is it, Reuben? Reuben heard it in verse 21. and communicated with his brothers and said, let's not kill our brother, but let's throw him in the pit. So they threw him in the pit, and here comes a group of Midianites, merchant men, who takes him out of the pit, and they in turn sells him to the Ishmaelites. Okay? And then the Ishmaelites sells him to Egypt for 20 pieces of silver. Okay? Let me see if this is... Okay, so yes, he sold to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And then in verse 36 of this same chapter, it says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt. Okay. Now, the point being made here is that Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites by the Midianites for 20 pieces of silver. And in selling Joseph to the Ishmaelite caravan, they were actually selling Joseph to Egypt. Well, in selling Joseph to Egypt, it's like this. When we take the possessions of God that God has entrusted unto us as believers and plunder them in the world systems, we're also selling out to Egypt. So this caravan of the Midianites and the Ishmaelites were the descendants of Abraham through Keturah and Hagar. And some versions and translations read Arabians. The word Midianites and Ishmaelites can, in some cases, be used interchangeably, proving that they were one people or they lived in the same country and carried on business together. They trafficked in men, selling them for profit. Mm. In Genesis, the 25th chapter, we have the verses 1 and 2 shows us where Abraham takes his second wife. Then Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Then we have the children out of that marriage. And the most prominent of that child, those children were the Midianites, here in verse 2. So the Midianites are the descendants of Abraham's second wife, Keturah.
Moses married a Midianite.
Yes, and Moses married. We're going to find a whole lot going on with these Midianites. Maybe some of us was married to one. I know how it is. She-ching! Just charge it. Okay, I won't go too far. I got one in my wallet too, but I know how much is in there. I can only spend what's in there. But anyway, so they were a desert moving people, nomads. They had names called tent dwellers. They were called camel drivers and ragheads. And I can go into a lot more for the sake of time. The scriptures teach us that the Midianites were a nation who did traffic in men. They hunted men to enslave them. They were selling them for profit. You might say that they depended upon men for their growth. When we turn to the world systems for our security and not God for our growth, we are also enslaving ourselves to it, the world systems. Romans 6:16 says that, know you not that to whom you yield yourself service to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether unto sin or to death, or obedience unto righteousness. There is another movement that's been going on for a number of years in our country, the drug scene, alcohols, gangs, and many other groups out there that depend upon men for their growth. They enslave them also. You might say, you and I should be dependent upon the Lord for our growth. We can only imagine the number of families that were made poor and reduced to poverty because of this principality. Now, also the word Midianite means strife. So wherever this principality is in manifestation, strife, you're going to find strife and contention, particularly in the areas that's dealing with money. Anybody ever been there? This principality comes to deprive God's children of strength and resources, and he comes in several disguises, anything from a family member with various financial problems to personal credit cards that continue to lower our standard of living. Let's face it, much of this happening to believers is because we are not careful about what we give, and we are not, and we're holding out for fear of not having and not being obedient to God in giving. I left here in October of this past year for the deliverance conference. And we broke up in teams of men, and the Holy Spirit reminded us something. Well, he didn't have to remind me. It had been on my mind. I know he had forgiven me, but something that took place in my first 6 months of salvation. Didn't know anything about deliverance, not trying to make any excuses, but being a businessman, I had the ability to, with one signature, to write $100,000 check. So I'll just say like this. I went into a hoo with another business partner, and done something that was wrong. And didn't ever think about it because, you know how it was, the familiar spirit told me, well, you was going to do it anyway. Or you go ahead and sign it out. What's the difference in 1 hour? And so many years later, I spoke to my wife and told her what had happened, and I went through repentance. And I just never really quite was satisfied with that. And so about a year or two ago, then I talked to God about it again. He said, well, yeah, you need to confess it. So I tried to get my pastor. So I'll be there on Friday night, Tuesday night deliverance service. And I said, Brother Dean, I need to talk to you. He said, huh? And then they say, I know somebody else come up here. And I said, I never could have get around to it. So all of a sudden, we're at the deliverance conference, and I got all these men sitting around. We broke it up in tables. And so everybody said, what are we going to talk about? I'm in charge. I said, well, I got to testify about something I did about 17 years ago. I went back immediately, and I sat down with my wife. I said, God's going to do something. I said, I finally got that thing out. God showed me. I didn't know I had to share it with nobody else. I knew he had forgiven me, but I need to tell somebody. And I said, we're going to increase our giving to God. I said, we're going to increase about $100 a month. Now, I'm a single-income family. I don't take a salary from the church. And we were living over 100-some thousand, well, 130,000, I think, my last year before my wife retired. Well, my wife took 19 years off after working at a company with me. We both worked at the same job. And she got a word from the Lord. She quit. All right. And so our living expenses and things like that was still based on about a $70,000 income. So it was a struggle. So she just looked at me when I told her that, and she didn't say anything else. So she started, I told her how to figure it out. I said, I want you to go on my check. Every time you get the check, I want you to take all this money here. I said, now, and all between here and here, and this is what's going to the pension, this is going to, I want you to go ahead and tie, I want you to tie it on all this up to here. And she looked at me and said, well, show me how to figure that out again. So I figured it out, and she said, okay. And she never said anything. Now, we started that when I got back in October, November. All right, from January to this day, we've got back over 4,000, close right at 5,000. I think I was trying to figure it up here. It's close to $4,800, $4,900 checks that just came from mortgage people, just gave us a refund on some money. My income tax people called me, the accountant called me, and we never hardly get anything back. They filed late because there was a death in the office. And I said, well, just make sure we don't have to pay. and then they told us we'd get $2,000 back from that. So what I'm saying is, if I just took the $4,000, close to $5,000 in the last 60 days we've gotten, okay, that we didn't know we were going to get, and just set it in the bank and divided it by 12, we took a $300 increase every month. Praise the Lord. And all I did was give $100. Man, okay, I've got to keep going because the testimonies is so important because I know you're out there with these same type of testimonies. You got to understand, I went through a lot of problems. I come out of the military. My dad is a very disciplined man when it comes to finances. I can remember having over $5,000 at one time just in my safe deposit box. My first year of my job, I saved $12,000 cash. I spent $50,000 on a child that got in trouble and was proved in court he was innocent. You don't get any money back from the bail bondsman. I didn't know you could give it to the lawyer because we ain't in trouble all the time, you know. So the enemy, the Midianites, have been coming at us over and over and over again. But since October, I've seen nothing but victory and victory and victory. And now looking to the congregation, I got young people now getting good jobs and graduating college. And I had one young lady been waiting for a year to get a job, graduated last December, hadn't got a job, just got it the last couple of weeks. Then another one got a job, and I'm seeing prosperity. I was obedient. So some of us may have done some things. You may have to go to one of your spiritual voices or spiritual force. Somebody can speak into your life. It may not be your pastor, and tell them, this is what I did 12 years ago, 18. I mean, you know, I actually took a Snicker bar out to 7-Eleven. But it's eating at you, right? Well, you thought I was going to tell you, like, I took $50,000 or something. But anyway, well, you'll never know the rest of it, then. But I can tell you this much, I've had more than that come in my pocket in the last 10 years, and I don't know where it went, because that was the devil. Mm-hmm. I used to also, my elder back there, I used to be in insurance too. Everybody insured my man. I paid everybody's premiums. Every time they died, I took care of it. My dad even told me, all right, son, you get my inheritance, and the other two brothers and sisters, but you're going to bury me. I said, well, how is that fair if y'all going to get the same 1/5 cut? So my mama don't give it to me, I still got to pay. In Genesis, the 10th chapter, we're all familiar with an individual by the name of Nimrod. And Nimrod began to become a mighty one. And he built a kingdom in the beginning, and the name of his kingdom was Babel. And he is also the first revealed individual in the scriptures who was also a hunter of men, a merchant of men.
People don't understand that's what that means. He was a hunter of men.
Yes, not only animals, men.
Men.
What? So I wouldn't even mention the animal part. I'm going to make him go read it. And when he says he was a mighty man, it means that he did what he did openly in defiance of God. Not that he was a mighty man of God. He went on, you'll find in Genesis 11 chapter where it talks about where he said, let us build us a tower and a city. Let us, I think us is used three times there. And so his whole aspiration, or his descendants' aspiration, was to build a city and a tower. That would be his descendants' grandson. And so people, without question, the Midianites had the same spirit. All right, Nimrod controlled the people, and in his ambition, attempted to, or his descendants, the grandson, build a city and a tower which top might reach heaven. The Midianites' spirit is also a city and towering system. It will take every available resource you have and enslave you to that system. Been there, done that, I know what I'm talking about. It could be medical expenses. It could be that commercial with MasterCharge. Visa, credit cards, various bills, or it could be the lotto, or it could be bingo, or whatever the scheme is working against you. Before you know it, you also are assisting Satan and his group in the construction of the city of Babylon. And I believe this is one of the things the medical systems and the skyrocketing prices and charges are doing, and the banking industry, and all of the interest rates, and of course the credit card industry is doing, building Babylon, its own Egypt. A world in a world. Cities and towers. When we don't give to God, and Christians of all people, I shouldn't have to share this with you, but for the sake of the tape, it may go somewhere where someone is not giving. This is what we're doing. We're building Babylon because we're saying that our resources and our needs are above God's. When we don't allow God, and Sister Jackie brought this out early this afternoon, which instituted this message, because I was going to give you what I normally do, my commission is to teach you how to go out and do the war and get you going. And so this is more or less an in-house teaching to the congregation. So I'm a pastor, all right? So when we don't receive our first fruits, how do we expect him to put us first when we're building Babylon with our resources and the kingdom has needs? When you go back to Exodus, the second chapter, verses 11 through 22, you'll find that when Moses had killed the Egyptian, buried him, and then he went out the next day and found two Hebrew men fighting, and the man confronted him about the murder of the Egyptian. That Moses left, Pharaoh got word of it, and he went down and he married a Midianite also. I think, Lynn, you just mentioned that. So his wife was a Midianite, and they had a child. So we see this Midianites be working in so many different areas. When God's people, Israel, in Numbers 22, chapter 22, verse 1, etc., we find also the Moabites fearful and terrified by this nation that was coming. And they had just defeated the Ammonites, I think it was. And so Balak, the king of the Moabites, sought help from the Midianites to drive out the children of Israel from their lands. So they wanted help from the seer, which was Balaam. And Balak and the Moabites were terrorized of Israel. I mean, everyone had heard about what was taking place. But their plan was to destroy Israel's strength and resources through a curse. That's why they went to Balaam. If they wanted an army, they could have went somewhere else. So they sought help from the elders of Midian in order to weaken Israel through a curse. Then they would send the men to actually fight them. And this is what the Midianites people do. It's going to try to weaken your resources and get you to curse yourself. It'll steal your finances. It'll try to operate through medical expenses, credit cards, lawyer fees, lawsuits, divorces, all-you-can-eat restaurants, and many other deceptive schemes. Just got to have it. That's people that spend their last dime. You know what? $2 saved my life. I was teaching deliverance in a very remote area, way about an hour away from my home, nothing but hills and, foxes and squirrels. But I was going into a rough area. It's not a rough area as far as crime, but just, you know. And I was ministering at a home, and people came from all over, you know. This is 10 years ago or so. And I left, and they didn't know I had any money because I never asked for a dime. In fact, I had to deal with pride because I would go places to do seminars in the early days and would tell them I didn't want anything until one of my elders rebuked me. And he said, I live by the gospel. And then he began to scripturally teach me that. You have to understand, like Doc said, his was one area. Mine was pride. Okay, so I'm a little bit more in God on that area. I'm watching that area. That's not to say I wouldn't take anything later, but right now I'm trying to help build the work. So they didn't think that. They saw me as a prosperous, like you, man, the woman of God. You walk in there with the message, you prosperous. And I wasn't, for some of you that might know the old musicians of the years past, a begging Barry White type anyway. So after we had taught, and I was trying to learn, teach them deliverance, and they were the people responsible for praying for me to get saved. I didn't know they were sanctified folk, you know, and all that back in them days when I was an insurance man. So I was going back over there and let them know, thank you. So about a year later, they wanted me to come start teaching and all that. So I went down there and started teaching a little deliverance. And I was leaving, and I was approaching the city of Buna, and I had $2 in my pocket, and my teeth start aching around here, something like some people have when you're getting off of nicotine, tobacco. And I knew that peanuts would soothe that. But I didn't want to spend the last $2, you know. And I had a very economical automobile. Even when I started working at the plant, I kept very cheap automobiles. I always thought to my wife had a nice one. Oh, yeah, it'd be better. So finally, the Lord really spoke to my spirit. He really told me to pull over and buy some peanuts. Well, what is the Goldens? The Goldens, the rat brought them $20, so God saved my life for a bag of peanuts. Y'all remember about the Goldens, huh? The Goldens down in Mexico. The rat brought them $20.
James.
Yeah.
James.
Yeah. Y'all need to get that tape, how he got 20. They needed it, and a rat brought it to him.
Yeah. Three times.
I didn't know about the three times. I don't know what tape it is, but I was here when they told it. A rat brought $20 three times. Oh, three rat nests, three $20 bills.
Fat rat.
Did he have
everything? Don't even think of them. They took them apart, and that was.
I think it's appropriate with this message. Whew, boy, I don't want to get charismatic a little bit too. Boy, that's awesome, huh?
Amen.
So that's the kind of God we serve.
Amen.
Oh, so where was I going next? That's so awesome. The peanuts. Okay, so finally I heard a distinct voice say, get the peanuts. So I said, okay. So I was somewhat reluctant, but I was traveling behind a travel trailer camper that had a trailer on the back with three-wheelers, four-wheelers, and big old coolers, not the 48-quart, the big ones, and a pickup truck behind them. And we was tracking like 15 miles between these cities, like 15-mile intervals. And I just stayed, instead of passing them up, I just relaxed and thinking about all of what God had done. You know, I'm just, you know, trying to speed around. You know, I left folks in the truck. I mean, anyway. So I pull over. I obey God. I pull over and went and got the peanuts. And I like peanuts. I really like peanuts. So I start getting my truck, got the peanuts. When I got up around the bend, you just kind of like a mile around the curve. Guess what? 18-wheeler, jackknife. And the lady right in front of me was behind her husband who was driving the 18-wheeler, driving the camper. And the jackknife right in her head went straight through the steering wheel. When I got there, kerosene all over the floor. And all I could do was walk up there and pray for her and think about it for a moment, how God has saved my life.
Wow.
The devil meant to destroy me. The children crying, Dad, I'm looking at him, he's looking at me. When we are entrapped by this Midianite spirit or these spirits of poverty, and these situations come in our life or have come in our life, it causes us to be able to be in a position to withhold our gifts from God. When you don't have anything to give, you can't give. And I believe that many times we develop soul ties with the institutions. It's one thing to do business with an institution. It's another thing to have them in your business. God ordered a destruction of all the Midianites in Numbers 31. And he told them to destroy them all, to exterminate them all. So all the men were exterminated. And we also must exterminate ourselves from the Midianite spirits, their nature, their characteristics that are operating in our lives. Balaam was also destroyed there because he taught the Moabites and Balak how to cause Israel to fall. Then we look in Judges. I think I'll read that scripture. I think you need to put your eyes on that one for the sake of time. But in Judges, the 6th chapter, it says, verse 1, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." They did evil. "And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which were in the mountains and caves and strongholds." Now, this is a picture of the believer that's not paying his bills, hiding from the bill collectors. Don't get that, though. Don't get it. Some of y'all ain't never done that. I know. Yeah. Don't answer that phone. Yeah, I know what you mean. You've been there, all right. "And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped around them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet." Because of sin, Israel was oppressed by the Midianites. The Midianites was loosed against them. This Midianite people, they robbed them, they destroyed the increase of their crops, took the animals, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And perhaps you know someone also that's bills is piling up. They have a fear of what tomorrow is going to bring. Things are always going wrong at the house. I'm talking about little stuff like breaking, the car problems all the time, and for some reason in these individuals, God needs always is conditional upon their needs being met first. I would give, but first I need to take care of this. Even one of the last word, one of my one of the newest people that came to us as a pastor came to our ministry about after I buried their husband in January. I hadn't seen him in four to six weeks for sure. But the last word they spoke to me when they came up, and they know I'm not a money monger type individual. Everything is established under grace. But the last words they spoke to me at the platform that Sunday was, "I got something come up. I can't pay my tithes." I mean, you ain't paying it to me anyway, you know. So, I mean, you know, I blessed them, and I hadn't seen them since that time. So we have a lot of people that are giving to God is conditional on whether or not they get them. And so you don't give, and you get additional curses. Then in verse 8 it said, "The Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel." Verse 9, "And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians that oppress you." In verse 10, "And I say unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." Not obeying the voice of God, the written word of God, will also cause us to suffer this spirit of poverty. Where there's poverty in our resources, generally there's a spiritual parallel. There's poverty in the word. So we need to get in God's word. When Israel obeyed God's instruction, God became their deliverer. He raised up Gideon to set his people free. And no differently, when we decide to be obedient to the Lord, he will also rebuke the devourer off of his provisions entrusted to us. In the book of Haggai, the minor prophet Haggai, we find another example where God is moving on the people of Israel to construct the temple. And the prophet speaks to them as the Lord has led him. And we find that he mentions to them that they have, I went too far over, homes with roofs on them themselves. But the temple of God, or God's house, is laid waste. God is trying to inspire them to begin the work on the temple. And then he tells them in verse 6, "You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough." I'm going to tell you something. We could take just this right here and go a lot. It's the tabernacle. I mean, it's just so much. So I'm hoping that you are going to go back and do the studies, or I pray that most of you are familiar about the text here, because I'm not going into a lot of detail in those areas. I'm staying focused on the Millionite perspective here. He says that you eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe you, but you there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. So, I remember I was ministering, which is a very rare thing for me to teach about giving at the local level. I kind of hope that somebody else do that, but then it still always ends up being me too. And I got to looking out in the parking lot, and I said, my goodness, boy, we got some beautiful cars out there for this tin roof over our head. But I didn't say that, though. And I said, well, God's really blessing us. So I said, I better not tell them that. But anyway, I looked out here, too. It looked pretty nice, too. Nice looking automobiles out there. But anyway, you might say that God's people had some mixed up values. And in this day, the temple is the body of Christ, and we're still not, we're still having some problems there. We're still guilty of not taking care of His temple. Let me just throw a twist here on the ministry of deliverance. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are still being forbidden in many of us, the assemblies of God. Many have been deceived into thinking that they have a better way. Let me just say that Jesus cast out devils. And I really believe that that we should not consider the ministry of Jesus as a very primitive ministry. In fact, I think it was in John 14:12 that in greater works than these shall you do. So before we embark on a new endeavor on the better way to cast out devils, I think you ought to at least know how to do the very same works that Jesus did. At least know how to do that. At least don't have a problem with knowing how to do the very same works. If you can grow, or God is taking you to a higher level. Let's don't say that our church is a little bit cleaner than your church, because we don't, you know. I think Norman Parrish has a good book on self-deliverance. And then there are other teachings back there on self-deliverance. Then there's sovereign deliverance of God. And then there's confrontational deliverance, where a believer works with you and says, come out in Jesus' name. Okay, so you need all three. You can't just say we have decided to go with this particular category of deliverance, because you're going to get out of balance down the road. You won't know it, because seducing spirits are so powerful. You know, they'll give you enough to keep the praise service going every week and a few people spitting up. And some changed lives. Until all of a sudden there's an adultery or backsliding or whatever. And then you say, how could that be 20 years later? Because you decide you had a better way. It's got to be God's way or the highway. I believe the leaders that God has chosen to deliver His people possess four essential elements in leadership, and that is authority, ability, accountability, and responsibility. And I believe that God is still speaking to the leaders today, like He spoke here in Haggai. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. And I believe God is raising up truth in these last days. Here in America, many believe that our poverty is always somebody else's fault. But that's not what God's Word says. Shall we believe how we feel, or should we believe what God's Word says? We have so many systems of helps out there. I had two people came to our congregation I'm still friends with them, by the way, 10 years ago, and they were on some type of help, government assistance or whatever. And I asked them about their lives, and I began the process of praying for them and breaking curses and casting out devils and getting, you know, being friendly. That's just being friendly. People love people that want to help them, you know. So that's just being friendly and doing our work. And in the course of that, I said, God wants you to get off this government assistance, and we're going to help you. We're going to break those curses and believe God. And I'm going to tell you something. Both of them ladies stood up about a year or two later. I'm going to say a year or two at least. And I remember them at the same time standing up giving their testimony. Both of them had got jobs, got off of government assistance, and I know they were making both over $25,000 a year apiece. I want to keep this in the financial arena. But this also works in the area for our children. I've seen the grades. My wife just gave me a report on one of our grandchildren, all straight A's. And this is very common, because we actually, I mentioned to you this the other day, I have a list of these spirits if you're interested. We just come against the blocking spirits that block education, just like I'm going to come against the blocking spirits that block your finances tonight. And block math, block understanding, absent-mindedness, and just all of the, and then prophesy over the children. I got another teacher in our ministry, and she studies all of Daniel everywhere. And she just grabs the children. Come up here. I'm a prophet of the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't be that dynamic. But she just, you know, she's real kind of like, you know, come on up here. And so we've had children that laughed at me, you know, like I thought maybe being a mocking spirit, you know, when I told them, they, you know, they was going to make the honor roll. And then straight A's. I wouldn't tell them about the straight A's, you know. I just said honor rolls and stuff like that. And at the same time, you know, we had a balance in what we were saying so that we didn't affect those that maybe who didn't meet the honor roll. But I don't know too many that didn't. See, this past week when I left Wednesday night, the children couldn't wait to get around me to show me all of their medals and awards. And I mentioned the other day about one of the children, he's 18 or 17. I just wrote letters to his universities to get for him to be asked to come to one of those schools who had the highest grade in foreign language and got an award in mathematics, algebra 2, that would be the, and after that would be trig. So, and this boy needed help the year before. I mean, he couldn't get it. He couldn't get it. This same principle will apply for you to get delivered from this Midianite spirit. But I'm not going to be able to help you, neither can God, if you're not going to search the scriptures yourself to see if the things I tell you be true. You have to have a heart yourself, an attitude that you want to be free and that you want to see the kingdom blessed. I had another individual that been walking with me for 15 years, grew up with him like that, but he came to me. I had to give him some correction. He doesn't do this anymore, so that's good. So evidently he received it. He said he wanted to be a millionaire. I said, you want to be a millionaire? I said, I want to be a bird in Africa. Okay, what's the deal? And I just want to give to the kingdom. I said, well, believe me, God wants you to have a million to give. Yeah, he'll work you up to that particular point there. It won't just you sit around and don't want to even go to work tomorrow. And I got the attitude, let's work or don't eat. And my pastor, Brother Dean, y'all know him. He was supposed to be here, but he had to do something. He's 70-some years old, got contracts out there. And when we call a church project, they actually got men that wear hard hat shoes and caps. I mean, still, they call them hard hats because he is known as the warden. And so, and I'm known as the little general. And so, we believe in working. Of course, I did talk to him. I prayed for him Tuesday night. And I told him, I said, Brother D, it's time for you to rest a little bit. So I called him up again before I left. He wasn't able to come. I said, are you rest? He said, well, I feel better. I got a good night rest. So I think I'm gonna talk to him a little bit more about resting. In Malachi, the third chapter, you know, I'm going, okay. Verse 6, it says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. For from the days of your fathers you are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, where shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, where have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. Now, I think it's interesting that God introduced the context of the tithe. Evidently, he knew that we would be a stingy people. And he reminds us that he is the Lord and that he changeth not. And we should not go away from God's ordinances. But if we have, we must repent and that we might return unto him. And then we won't have to run all over the place trying to find him, because then he will return unto us. The tithe simply means a tenth. And Sister Jackie brought that out earlier today. An offering is to go beyond the 10%. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Verse 9 says, you are cursed. What a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows, will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Do you think that the curse that's spoken here come from Satan? If Satan could bless you, he would do it for withholding from God. I guarantee he'd do that. Let's face it, the curse is from God, and it's because of the result of disobedience. We self-impose this curse by hanging on to what belongs to God. God gives us both our portion and his portion together so we can prove him and have his abundance. Or we can withhold his, and we can end up living in poverty. Well, we get to choose, people. You have a choice. Tonight that the Holy Spirit inspired, God spoke to Brother Bill to that we will share an offering. This is not something that this is consistent with the campgrounds. We just obey the Holy Spirit. And I certainly hope that you that had less than a dollar or two or three or four in your pocket reached out and gave something, because this was a great investment. A great investment. God is good. It is idolatry when we love money more than we love the Lord. Some people hold on to their very last because they just got to have a Snicker bar. Got to have a pack of bubble gum, a certain type. Perhaps they got to have a pack of cigarettes or something. I don't know. I just throw them all in there. Whatever comes out. Our habits is more important than God's habits. The Midianite spirit will also bring addictions. Because in order to steal himself inside of a person, he's got to keep you addicted. Idolatry, the love of money, is going to bring curses. And poverty and idolatry work hand in hand. In nations where you see the greatest poverty, there are many idols and there are what? Few Christians. I'll never forget my fifth grade teacher, Ms. Bias, telling us about money and that we shouldn't lust for money. I can remember this is so clear. I don't remember her saying it quite that way, but that's what she was implying. I remember that. And she told us about two men who got into a fight over a dime, and one killed the other over a dime. I never forgot that. The lust of money is the root of all evil. Then there are many believers who give to get, trying to con God. That's witchcraft. One time I got a check at the assembly, and then printed boldly on a certain section of the check, it said, "Return back to me 100-fold. Well, I can only assume they meant money. But I thank God for my children, my salvation to my grandchildren, and the work of ministry here and abroad. I mean, when I give, I mean, God, you just do whatever you got to do. But to specify return back to me 100-fold, I don't know. I'm not going to say this. I don't understand that. I just ain't got the revelation yet. I hadn't got the revelation on that. So I'm just going to give, you know. I can assume that we should leave something like this up to the Lord. Then in our country, we have droughts, floods, crop failures, disasters. We even had an earthquake in Alabama I've never heard of before. That means diverse places. I think we're approaching very close to the end time. At one time, the whole world knew that America was a Christian nation. And even though I'm going to make this statement, it doesn't sound very encouraging. I think that I really like our president. You know, I really like this guy. I think there might be some change in the next 2 to 10 years. So pray for him, because I really like this guy. We tend to vote out at the party of our ancestors. Oh, man. But anyway, but we're not seeing the blessings in the day that we've seen in the times past. We don't have the abundance of food or the respect of the world. But that's going to change. But God says, if you return unto me, I'll return unto you. He tells us, wake up, church. Wake up. We need to repent, and we need to see our nation rise back up again, because God wants to bless us. The Midianite nation was the most prominent of Abraham's family, our second family. Moses fled to this land and married a woman of Midian. The Midianites became a snare to Israel, for which God commanded Israel to war with them. I believe we're still in war with this spirit. The Midianite spirit comes to deprive us of our strength and our resources. And this evil spirit could once again operate through several deceptive schemes. Sicknesses, credit cards, lawyer fees, divorces, addictions. How about a family member? Want to move in our home? Don't have any income? Don't have any real intent on working or trying to help out? Many times this leads to marital problems because one of the spouses can discern this characteristics and the other one is in denial. Remember the word Midian, or the name Midianite, or the spirit Midianite means strife. So it's going to bring contention. We should all ask the Lord to pray and reveal to us the areas where we are not obeying Him. And it has caused everything we have had to come in to be eaten up. In Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh his flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord." I believe this is the picture of the believer trusting in man's systems. It brings a curse and a soul tie. You ever thought about that? The soul ties? All the loans you done had, all those commitments, all those binding agreements. I mean, I'm not saying you did anything wrong. I'm just saying, you ever thought about breaking the curse? Or breaking the soul ties, at least? No, we ready to tell everybody, I paid off that $50,000 loan 8 years ago. You still in bondage to it. You still got a soul tie. That's all you can think about, what you did. What about the grace of God? What about Ananias and Sapphira, his wife? And they, you know, they sold a possession. They kept back, and that's in Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 1. They kept back part of the price. His wife also taking part in it. Brought a certain part, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. These individuals were smitten of God because they lied to the Holy Ghost and pretended to give all of the price of the lands that they sold. They kept back part of it. Dishonesty. We shouldn't even have this even mentioned of us as members of the body of Christ. How many of you know there's dishonesty even in the church? Then there's past dishonesty that we walked in, like myself as a businessman. And then that's generational dishonesty. You understand, we come out of a generation of many people that were into numbers. The 20s and 30s were 40s where people made their extra income by selling numbers and gambling and all that. That was just a common thing. People hustled the streets. They sold numbers. Y'all, anybody ever heard of that? It's not just on Elliot Ness and all that. It really happened. So you got some generational things that are affecting your finances today that needs to be dealt with. And we just can't take these things for granted. You ever go to a restaurant and you eat, and the person on the side, you don't eat, but they want to eat off your plate? The Lord showed me something here just a couple of days ago. I had some work done on a vehicle, and the guy told me he was a member of such and such a church, and it was real nice and everything. And I just reached my pocket, and I gave him more than he asked me to pay for. It was $100. I said, "Well, here, take this." I walked out the door, and he knew then when I walked out the door, I didn't want no receipt. His word was his bond. Well, that's the way I do business. I got rental property, and I have no contracts, nothing on paper. All right. Well, I'm telling you to do that. That's what I'm going to do. I can bite the bullet if it don't. Well, never mind. I don't want no cliche curse either. But I'm not going to do much. Anyway, I don't have no contract with nobody. Cancel that, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. But anyway, am I making any sense, though? Are we getting anywhere with that? I don't want to say too much in a short time. I want to get some deliverance here, and I can go around and around with that. Sometimes you have to have some type of contract, so don't let me talk you out of doing that. It's just my conviction. I'm just not going to do it like that at this time anyway. I may have to do it later. Okay, dishonesty, generational dishonesty. It's another open door for spirits of poverty, spirits of the Midianites to enter in, and many other cooperating evil spirits that can be assigned to destroy our finances and enslave us to the Babylon system, where we have to depend upon a system. I can remember every time I had a need, all I'd do was get on the 800 and call Merrill Lynch or go to the credit union. It was just so common. 1 year I spent $15,000 on vehicles. I'm not talking, I had bought 25 cars. Well, I got to tell you this one. Being an ex-salesman, and some of you probably couldn't tell that, I hope. But I sure didn't like that. But, and I renounced all those super sales courses and all that, and I hated them when I was forced to go to them. My supervisor in business was a preacher, but he didn't believe in the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he knew I was in rebellion, but I set the class, but I didn't go along with all that. Pop it up and mold it up and motivate it and all that kind of trip, you know. Anyway, I had that. God gave me that much understanding in the first year or two of my salvation. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that one. So, oh Lord, the Holy Spirit know what He want me to say, what He don't want me to say. If anybody remember what I was saying the last 2 seconds.
Yeah, 25 cars.
25 cars. Okay, that's good, because I still want to try to get through this. I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. And, so I went to a dealership to buy a car, and I was going to buy it cash. I'm talking about a used one. And the salesman came out, and he began to tell me, well, it's got to be a figure that you can deal with somewhere between $1 and $50,000, $1 and $8,000 or something. And I went on to complete this salesman. I went on to complete what he was saying. And he tried another one. I completed what he was going to say. And he tried another statement, and I beat him to the punch. And finally, he just cussed me out and told me to leave. So I went outside. I got to think, I wonder what happened there, you know. So I had to go get another salesman to sell me the car. Well, he got frustrated because I knew more what he was going to say. I knew what he was going to say. So... But before that, I had problems going to the salesman because I hadn't forgiven myself. And after I had forgiven myself, I was able to sit down there and take all his punishment and walk out and just go find another one and buy it and forgive him and move on with my life. Instead of leaving it at that, I just went car happy. So I bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold. Didn't make anything off of it. Lay at the poverty again. Then there's all these, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. God bless you. Thank you, Sister Crystal. Then there was the network walkers came by to visit me from within the congregation. Oh, pastor, this ain't nothing. You just got to do this, and you just put your little $250 in there, and it's going to grow to a whole lot. Well, guess what? Within 6 months' time, I had made all kinds of thousands of dollars. I had over 2,000 people under my downline. The president of our company from China flew down and stayed and came in my home. And then the people would come in the meeting to be bigger than this. They would come up there, and I was in charge of all the whole place. Y'all heard of Amway, Mary Kay, all that kind of stuff. Well, I was one of them kind of people at one time. It didn't last a year, though. I heard them get out of that. And what happened was a couple of ministers came up there, and they had a dispute. And I looked at them, and I said, who am I to straighten out y'all disputes? I quit that day. I walked away from that mess. I said, this ain't God. Something wrong about this. So I've been through a lot of things. I've been part of it. I've seen it on the outside. I've been on the inside. So you don't think that Brother Jim is coming at you, because I don't know what you've been through. I'm pouring out my life to you, let you know I made a lot of bad decisions that helped that spirit of poverty and the millionaire spirits to attack me. And I'm not against Amway. I think our whole country is built up on sales, so it wasn't Amway. It was some other stuff, you know. But I'm simply saying that it didn't work real well for me. And the product wasn't all that well either. In the book of Matthew, I think we'll finish with that scripture, Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19, the scripture says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do it corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do it corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As a believer, our treasure should be a heavenly investment. We should have spiritual treasures. I believe that there is appears to be a growing tendency amongst Christians to engage in various forms of gambling, especially the lottery. And perhaps to some it's a form of amusement. But the element of winning undoubtedly is still present. I had a young lady from our congregation who was not very committed. She wasn't very steady at that time. About 5 years ago, came to me and said, I saw... so-and-so at the, I taught about gambling. I think I taught about the spirit of gambling. And then she told me, well, Brother Lynn, I didn't know we weren't supposed to buy a lotto ticket. Brother so-and-so bought a ticket. I just looked at it. I didn't really have an answer. So I just said, well, you know, everybody don't know. But anyway, so I know that, or at least I'm aware of the fact that I've been told, but I don't know. I'm not a garbage disposal where people come unload everything, but it's kind of hard to when somebody just throw a one line of statement with 8 words in it and you can't just catch it right quick, you know. That didn't mean we carried on the conversation. I heard dealt with that issue. So you might say, well, nobody in here scratching. Well, and nobody here scratching, right? I'm sure. Okay. It is the basic nature of unregenerate mankind to desire far more than they input. This is the essence of gambling, which consists of a bet taken. Wagering, betting has a tendency to stir and strengthen any element of the unconquered soulish greed, and pride and other bondages associated with gambling. Some will say, I'm not serious about it. I'm just having fun, Brother Jim. It doesn't hurt anything. It's only a dollar or two, is some of the other reasons they give you. But a biblical response might be, why engage in the practice at all? Why not spend the funds on God? Useful, beneficial causes, and not run the risk of displeasing God and open the door for evil spirits to enter you and attack your finances. And Which you may not know if you are participating, gambling opens the door for the greater sucker theory. Because whoever the sucker is that didn't win, that's what he is. And I don't think that's the attitude that Jesus had for us to give, expecting that you get it back and the other person was a sucker. Gambling is an open door, I believe, also for the interest of the Midianite and other spirits of poverty into believers' lives, and particularly in the, generationally. And it's there to enslave those individuals to the Babylon systems. There's all types. There's the lotto. There's a bingo, scratch, football parlays. Then the gambling casinos are all around my area down in Louisiana, Lake Charles. They got good food down there, though, but just don't go sting, you know. And you can be easily spiritually blinded by these gambling spirits. They have strong seducing spirits. You can get really seducingly, spiritually blind by them. There's three fishermen that were fishing out in the Gulf, and their boat was taken on water, and they didn't know what they was going to do. And so they start throwing everything overboard, and they said, "What are we going to do?" And the boat's taken on water, the waves crashing back and forth. So one of them said, "Well, I think we ought to pray." And the other two said, "That's not a good idea. Since you mentioned it, why don't you pray?" So the guy starts saying, B5, I-16, N-13, G-19, O-O, it's sunk. And so you can be easily deceived by the gambling spirit, because as far as he was concerned, he lived right next door to a church, and he thought they was having prayer meetings. Those of you, some of the senior people that paid their dues, you go ahead and relax and stuff, but the rest of you stand for a minute. I'm going to lead you through a very short renunciation prayer, but I won't keep you long. I'm just going to... If you'll repeat after me, in the name of Jesus, I renounce all ungodly soul ties formed with lending institutions, credit cards, Master, Visa, Discover, all lending companies, all mortgage lenders, past and present, past and present, individuals that I borrowed money from, and those that have borrowed money from me, particularly those that didn't repay. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I break those soul ties in the name of Jesus with all those individuals throughout my lifetime and all institutions of lending. I now cut, sever, and loose myself from all ungodly soul ties. I declare them destroyed, made null and void by the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. I break all curses. I break all soul ties with spirits of poverty, spirits of the Midianites. I call back my soul and spirit. I send back to them their soul and spirits and exchange their images for the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, I bind the strong man of sin and death, death and destruction, death and hell, over all curses inflicted upon me as a result of poverty. Midianite spirits, all finance spirits. I also bind the power of these curses, and I cut and sever, breaking loose myself from all evil curses, all buried curses, including all hidden imprecations, charms, hexes, vexes, spells, jinxes, all psychic powers, psychic or manipulative prayers associated with these institutions.
All sorcery.
White or black magic.
All occult mind control.
Witchcraft control.
Soul
power.
Human spirits.
Familiar spirits.
Spoken word curses.
All poverty and Midianite
spirits.
And I break
and loose myself
from these curses.
In Jesus'
name. Will you be seated real quick? I'm going to move real quick. All right. Just agree with me. Don't say anything. Just pray in your mind. The Spirit's in there. They're going to come out. But true deliverance is a changed life, a walk. Satan, I'm attacking you for my position, my spiritual position in the third heaven, where we as believers are seated spiritually with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places, far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that to come. I now exercise the power and the authority that has been given us, and I come against all principalities. I come against you, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the name of Jesus, the authority of the believer, the unity of our spirits, and the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I bind all strong men, all commanders of legions, ruler demons, lesser demons, servant demons, all of the underlying spirits, all co-hosts, all doorkeeper spirits that are harassing each person present that are willing to participate and keeping them in bondage. I bind the powers and command all spirits of poverty to line up in rank and file and begin to start leaving now in an orderly fashion. I take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I cut and sever every evil spirit in the family of poverty from Satan and from one another so you can't hang on to one another for help, for comfort, for support. I also cut you asunder from every area of our mind, soul, and emotions, from all five senses we know of and those that are unknown. I cut and sever you from all the muscles, ligaments, tendons, nerves, sinews, tissues, from the vertebrae to disc, all portions of the spinal cord and every organ and limb. And I wash you and purge you from every area of the body with the blood of Jesus Christ. I also sever between the conscious and the unconscious and the subconscious mind so all things in the past can be released. I bind and stir up the power demons, the unclean spirits of poverty in every part of the mind, soul, and body. I throw confusion and weakness in your ranks. I command every demon of poverty to come out of darkness into light. According to Scripture, I forbid you to use any trickery, any deceit, or mischief. I bind all the spirits in the family of poverty directly to the authority of Jesus Christ and His divine judgment. And in Jesus' name, I command every one of you to leave with all of your memories, roots, scars, works, all of the nests. Will you repeat after me? In Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name,
I command
all spirits of poverty
to leave me now.
I command you to loose me
and go.
You have no legal right to say.
I renounce you and all your works.
Your house is spoiled.
I rebuke you.
I curse your roots.
You have no legal grounds to stay.
I'm giving you your eviction notice.
I've confessed my sins.
Those are my ancestors.
You are stripped of your armor.
The doors of the curses
are sealed with Jesus' blood.
And God has put all things under my feet.
I've been forgiven for all my sins.
They are all under the blood of Jesus.
I triumph over you.
You are finished,
conquered,
overcome,
and defeated.
Now I take authority over these principalities. I ask the Father to send legions of angels to gather all principalities and powers and take them to where you see them, Lord Jesus.
Lord, I ask for special protection for our young people and children. We've never had any problem with that in the past. And I thank you, Lord God, that all these spirits have to go. All common, loose, and spirits on the grounds are now secure and bound. And they must all be taken to where Jesus received them. All spirits of errance, you come out. Abnormal desire, spirits of anxiety, spirits of ambition, you come out. All addiction spirits, spirits of gambling. I'm challenging the evil spirits. When I call your name, you're going to come out of the people. You're going to go. We don't want you. We are falling out of fellowship with you. All the way back to when we took our first piece of candy at the store counter. You go, every one of you, in Jesus' name. All obsession and compulsion disorder, come out. Spirits of betting, random betting, spirits of by chance, burn one's money, blow one's money, just blow everything. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of borrow the bet, steal the bet, bingo betting, bookie.
I break the generational curse of bookie upon us right now from the sins of our forefathers. We just confess those sins, Father. And Lord, we just ask you to forgive us, Lord God. Forgive our ancestors, Lord. We command that bookie spirit, you come out of us in Jesus' name. You come out. All spirits of covetousness, come out. Spirits of the casino, cast one's net. Spirits of chance. Chance taken, chance hit, chance it, risk taken, come out. All spirits of desire, ungodly desire, desperate spending, come out. All spirits of deception, self-deception, dishonest with self, all spirits of daydreaming, dream, fancy dreamer, dreamer of dreams, spirits of driven by demons, spirits of don't count the cost. Now all the spirits, all these are gambling spirits. You come out of us, you come out of us. We have confessed the sins of our forefathers. You're going to come out, all of us. You're going to go. In Jesus' name, double the stake, come out. Evil desire, come out. All demonic desire, come out. Ungodly desire, come out. Spirits of easy come, easy go. Spirits of escapism, escape from reality. Spirits of failure, come out. Come out of all those fantasy spirits, fantasizing wealth, false dreams, wildest dreams, come out. Fortune hunter, fooling oneself, fools one's money away. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out, all the spirits of gambling, come out. Come out of there, good luck, bad luck, come out. All gaming, game of chance. Come out of there, go for broke. Come out, greed, come out. Greedy, greediness, get rich schemes, come out. Get rich quick, come out. Glutton for money, golden dream, pipe dream, come out. Ungodly hacking, high hopes, hope for, come out. Hit or miss, hit it big. Haphazard spending, have no money sense, come out. Come out of there, have no thought for tomorrow. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Isolation. Come out of loneliness. Come out. Itching palm. Idle fancy. Come out. All. Come out. All spirits will keep nothing for a rainy day. Come out. Lottery. Lotto. Lotto fever. Lotto craze. Come out. Long odds. Leave it to a chance. Last hope and resort. Come out. We're spoiling your goods. We're dividing your house. You can't do anything. Satan, you got to go. He knows where I'm going from here. Right now, we're just dealing with the leaves. Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Make believe. Come out. Money grubbling, come out. Loser, luck, lady luck, lucky, long shot, come out of there. Misuse of funds, come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. These are names of spirits that have manifested and gave names over the years. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there. Misspending, spirits of the millionaire, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Non-reality, one-armed bandit, push one's luck, come out. Spirits of pie in the sky, piggishness, come out. Possessiveness of money, come out. Pouring money through a sleeve, come out. Pouring down the drain. Come out. Phobia. Potluck. Poverty. Come out. Come out of there. Poverty stricken. Come out. Come out. Raffle. Rare chance. Come out. Reckless spending. Come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. All risk. Risk it. Risk taking. Great risk. Random shot. Come out of there. Russian roulette. Roulette. Roll the dice. Come out. Let's go. Go. Come out of there. Spend the last dollar. Scatter the winds. Spirits of selfishness. Self-indulgence, come out. Self-interest, come out. Squandering, speculation, shot in the dark. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. We'd be surprised at some of the things we did as young people. You have no idea. Some of us have forgot, you know. Come out of there. Scatter to the winds. High stakes, subject to chance. Scheming, sweepstakes. Speculate, sweepstakes. He'll be knocking at the door. It won't be long. It'll be 20 million, huh? I know what you mean. Keep filling out those things. Buy one magazine, by the way, huh? All right. Think money grows on trees. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Thirst for loot. Come out. Thirst for money. Try one's luck. Trust the chance. Come out. Come out of there. Vain imaginations. Rags to riches. A Cinderella spirit. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of win or lose. Wicked steward. Slothful. Come out of there. Ungodly. Come out of there. Wanting. Ungodly wanting. Waste one's inheritance. Come out. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Wishing. Wishful thinking. Come out of there. The wager. The wide guess. Come out of the spirits of the will of fortune. Come out of there. Oh, yeah. You got to go. Will of fortune. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Come out of there. Father, in Jesus' name, I just break the soul ties with these spirits, these gambling spirits, and break the generational curses with those gambling spirits in Jesus' name over the body of Christ. Now, all you dishonesty spirits, every one of you, past, generational, and present, I command you to come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. You spirit of a curse, come out. A cursed thing, beguiling, beguiling, come out. Blackmail, come out. Come out of there, burglar and the burglary spirits, cheat and cheating spirits. That demon wants you to cheat things. Come out of there. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Clowning and crafting, crafting the spirits, come out. Come out the spirit of the crook, crooked, cunning, Come on out of there in Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Deceit, deception, great deception. I understand on a certain type of message, you're not going to get a lot of outward manifestation. I know I can understand that too. I probably wouldn't want to say nothing on this myself. But that's okay. There's people sitting probably around you that say, I wish I could manifest. I just wish I could get some. I've been trying all week and get some freedom. So that's okay. Go on and get your deliverance. It's okay. Spirits of delusion, come out of there in Jesus' name. Double cross, spirits of embezzlement, come out. Come out, exaggeration, extortion, come out. Come out. You know, there's young people in 7th, 8th, 9th grade that use extortion. They be loaning like 2 bits and get back a dollar. Yeah, I've seen it. I used to, you know, be around the schools a lot. So there's children been kicked out of school for that. There's loan sharks in the school, and teenagers, or preteens, 12, 13, 14. Spirits of fake, all fakery spirits, come out. All filibuster spirits, come out. Flattery. Forgery, fraudulent, guile, hijacking, hold up, come out. Kidnapping, hypocrisy, come out of there. Spirits of kleptomania, come out of there. Hey, where you go? When you see a pen, you pick it up. It's no big deal. Now it is, probably. Pen bandito spirits, come out of there. Some people just collect box of matches. You don't even smoke. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Spirits of larceny, come out. Larceny, excuse me, come out. Lies. Convenient lies, big liar, come out of there, big liar, come out, wee liar, little liar, lying stories, little white lies, religious lies, lying, lying imagination, lying interest, and deliberate liar, come out. Come out of there, all the mockery spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name, play actoring, prank, come out of there, hustling, spirits of seduction, come out of there, all shoplifting spirits. You ever thought about repenting of that one? It's been a long time ago, huh? All shoplifting spirits, come out of there in Jesus' name. We're going to get we want to get clean.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.